is from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Good morning. Grace, mercy, and peace from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, when you listen to the gospel reading this morning, kind of start thinking that looking at some of the other ones, maybe from Corinthians, you know, here it tells us that Paul had quite a battle on his hands when he took the gospel to the Gentiles. You know, false teachers followed him everywhere he went. And these false teachers constantly insisted that a person had to convert to the Jewish faith before they could become a Christian. You know, so it was that Paul wrote in Colossians and said in Colossians 2, 16 and 17, "Therefore let no one pass judgment on you in question of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath." You know, these are a shadow of things to come, but a substance that belongs to Christ. You know, these words teach us that the old Jewish ceremonial law was a mere shadow. You know, Christ is the substance that casts that shadow. You know, Christ fulfilled the law for us. We no longer need to keep that shadow. We can rely directly on Christ. Now, when I say shadow, I'm referring to the old Jewish law. You know, today's gospel tells us that Jesus going to the temple was to fulfill the rite of purification. You know, you can find the instructions for the rite of purification in Leviticus 12. And for those of y'all that have ever read Leviticus, do not try laying in bed at night and reading it. You won't get through half a chapter. It's kind of long, and some of the descriptive words are a little bit graphic. You know, the main points are, if a woman conceives and bears a male child, then she shall be unclean for 7 days. Then she shall continue for 33 days in the blood of her purifying. When the days of her purifying are complete, she shall bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meetings a lamb 1 year old for a burnt offering, and a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. And if she cannot afford a lamb, then she can take two turtle doves or two pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for the sin offering. You know, the priest will make atonement for her, and she will be clean. You know, because Jesus was Mary's firstborn, his parents were to consecrate him to the Lord. One of the many places you may find instructions for consecration is in Exodus 13. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and a beast, is mine. The firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. The firstborn of a man among your sons you shall redeem." These passages, along with others, mean that there's all kinds of wonderful things that we can say about today's gospel. You know, here's the substance of a living temple. It just amazes me. You know, this living temple of flesh and blood is coming into the shadow of the temple of stone, and here Joseph and Mary are performing the shadow of redemption for one who will one day provide the substance for their own redemption. You know, Mary is the mother of the one who will provide that substance of purification for the entire world. Nevertheless, she still must perform the shadow of the rite of purification with the sacrifice of birds. A shadow sacrifice that points forward to the substance of her son's sacrifice on the cross. And here's an event full of substance of Christ fulfilling the shadow of ceremonial law. You know, the Son isn't the only one who fulfills promises on this day. The Holy Spirit also has a part to play. You know, he promised to reveal the Lord's Christ to Simeon and has him called to the temple to witness the substance of the Christ in the midst of the shadow of the temple. Simeon was already in the temple waiting for Christ when Joseph brought Mary and her son to the temple. You know, his action was to embrace the substance of the Lord's salvation. He gathered the infant Jesus into his arms and gave thanks to God. Now he had everything he needed for a blessed end. He was ready for his Father in heaven to graciously take him from this valley of sorrows to himself in heaven. After Simeon sang his song of praise and thanksgiving, the Holy Spirit gave him the words to share with Mary. These words for Mary stand in stark contrast to his song of praise. "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through his soul and through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Here we see another expression of what it means to be Christ. You know, this child that Simeon is holding is going to produce profound changes in Israel. These changes will come at a grave price, though. Sorrow will pierce Mary's heart like a sword. Those of us who know the rest of the story know that 33 years later, Mary will witness the death of this child, her son, on the cross. You know, Simeon gave praise to God for the salvation he carried in his arms. But the salvation that is good for us came at a terrible price. The Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, will unite some and divide others. You know, many will reject Him. It's by the torture of His sufferings and death on the cross that He will be the Lord's salvation. His suffering and sacrifice will bring great sorrow on His mother and on His followers. You know, Mary is the most blessed of all God's creatures, for she's the mother of God. Stop, think about that for a minute. But at the same time, it's also a terrible, terrible burden. A sword will pierce her soul. She'll come to know that her son suffers for her sins as she witnesses his death. She sees the price he must pay. You know, this is what justice demands for sin. A man betrayed and abandoned by his friends, tortured and nailed to a cross, hanging naked and dying. In the midst of it all, forsaken by God, a torture worse than all the others combined. Fortunately, Mary's heart was divided in grief for just a few days. The sword that pierced her heart withdrew when she saw her son was alive again. For on the third day of her heart's division, her son rose from the dead. Jesus had defeated sin, death, and the power of the devil. And by doing this, he had taken away her sins and the sins of the whole world, each and every one of our sins. And in a way, the sword also pierces the soul of the church. For we must also meditate on the sufferings of the cross. We must consider the price justice demands for our sins. We must come to understand that this is the punishment that we deserve for our sins. You know, nevertheless, we're not the ones who paid this price. You know, Christ has suffered and paid it all. His resurrection shows us that He has truly conquered death. And it's by this resurrection that we know that Jesus has taken away the sins of the world. Simeon's words to Mary tell us that we shall rise or fall based on what we believe about Jesus. You know, those who receive the Holy Spirit's gift of faith in Christ will rise. They'll receive the salvation that Simeon spoke of in today's gospel. You know, so it is that the church can join Simeon in his song. Simeon's hymn is an expression of trust in the Lord's provision at the end of the day and at the end of life. Simeon trusted that the Lord would make our death into nothing more than a deep sleep while we wait the day of our resurrection. You know, because Jesus paid for our sins, we know that like Simeon, we're ready for death to come. You know, death no longer holds the terror of eternal punishment. Instead, we rest in the peace of Jesus and go to our death as though going to sleep. Simeon also sees and holds our salvation. The only difference is that we hold our salvation in our mouth as we eat the Savior's body and blood. Jesus promised to come to us in the bread and wine of His Holy Supper, so that we do indeed hold our salvation just as much as Simeon held his salvation many years ago in the temple. You know, the Holy Spirit enabled Simeon to recognize that the baby hidden in humble flesh, the one that was carried in Mary's arms, was the Lord, the Creator, the Redeemer of the world. You know, the Holy Spirit enlightened your eyes to recognize the Savior as the world hidden in humble bread and wine. The Lord lets Simeon go in peace, and at each divine service, the Lord lets us go in peace. Pastor says, go in peace. But it is the Lord Himself who frees us to do it. You know, we're like Simeon in that we don't know when we'll leave this world. You know, we might leave this world when the Lord returns in judgment. A judgment might happen today, or it might not happen for centuries. If the Lord delays His return, then we'll be leaving the earth in death. A death that could happen at any time. Either way, we don't know the day or the hour. What we do know is that we're ready for the end whenever it comes. We're ready because we have seen, heard, and felt, and tasted our salvation. You know, we can be certain that because of the same Jesus, the very Son of God, who took on human flesh and sacrificed Himself for us, that same Jesus will still be coming to us in the sacraments. You know, we have the substance of the Lord's Christ in our ears and in our mouths. This substance is just as real as the substance that day many years ago Simeon held in his arms. Amen. May the peace of the Lord that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.